All right, guys, welcome back to the Worship Project podcast. Again, on the panel, we've got Nikki, we've got Derek, and we've got Josh Rambaju with us. And today we're talking all about technology, the distraction, the privilege, and also the access, and what this has all granted us in this time of reintegration, coming back into our churches. So I want to jump in just to talk a little bit about the new opportunities that have popped up for us as churches. Josh, talk a little bit about the innovations and the things that you have seen kind of come up that have really sparked maybe some creativity and maybe also some things that are not so good.
Well, I think to use one example as ways we've seen some creativity, the song The Blessing came out not too long before all of this COVID stuff hit. And I think pretty much every city on earth has done their own version of it. Every country has their version of it. And this idea of the multiple people submitting, you know, their parts, I think the church has really run with that. I've seen, and it looks different. Sometimes you have them on video, sometimes you don't. I know that what we've been doing or what we have done is send out tracks to our band. And it's really fascinating because, like, you wouldn't want to be scheduled 9 weeks in a row to play drums, but we've had musicians who have volunteered to do that for 9 weeks in a row, just as a really interesting aside. But that was a way to engage our team, outside of the building. And that's one way that we've been seeing some innovation and creativity. But to get down to platforms and things like that, Facebook has done some really cool stuff with live streaming. You can now have hosts and things like that. They've made it really easy to have, like, lots of group conversation and donation. You could really just run a church right off of Facebook now, whereas 3 months ago you couldn't. And there's so many other platforms that have been updating new features and things like that to make it easier for, you know, the pastor at home with the iPad to the church with multiple high-definition cameras. Like, the spectrum is so wide, and I think in some ways the playing field has been, you know, slightly leveled in terms of, you know, access to you know, some really great features on these social network sites.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm going to add to that. What's been really encouraging for me is seeing how creative churches have been in doing things like, you know, worship, preaching. Like, every service looks so completely different. Yeah. And I think a lot of churches, at least in my context too, where technology and using, like, online tools, I wouldn't say frowned upon, but was like, oh, we're not really going to go there. Yeah. You know, now, like, it's one of those things where, well, we're forced to go there, and it's almost normalized. And so coming out of it, it's like, well, maybe we can do this. Maybe we can use more online tools for meetings. Maybe we can access the online space for things that work in our context. And so I think, I don't know, I think it presents a really interesting opportunity for the church moving forward.
Yeah. I think about, one church started it, And then there was a whole myriad of churches that did it. But I think about the churches that grabbed those FM transmitters and have been having drive-in services and stuff. Yeah. And the online stuff, we're going to talk about that, you know, for the rest of our lives, this online era or whatever. Right. But I think about the way that people have in some ways still been able to gather together, but maintain physical distancing, social distancing, and using, you know, something like an FM transmitter to, you know, for them to get up outside and have, like, a drive-in church service. I think about that in terms of, like, human innovation and the like, just not willing to say, for better or for worse. I mean, that's a whole nother argument in itself of whether or not it's good or bad. But I just think of, like, the innovation of, like, oh, we can't meet in the building. Okay, parking lot, see you there, you know, kind of thing. So, kind of thing.
Or people who are, like, putting some speakers out on, you know, like, in a parking lot.
Yeah.
And just, like, worshiping for, like, apartment buildings, like, people who, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Just all of that kind of innovation where before, I haven't quite gotten there yet, but thinking, like, if this goes on any much longer, I'm just going to sit out on a crate on my driveway and just grab my guitar and just play. And then whoever wants to come by, like, I'd grab a lawn chair. I don't want to be there. But just that, like, there's something about that, that, like, I would probably never think to do that before this time.
Yeah.
But necessity is such a powerful motivator of innovation.
Yeah.
And so I hope that there's some more of that as we move forward, you know, like powerful innovation sprung out of necessity.
But let's look at how easy some of this technology has made it though. Like if we think about, like you talk about Facebook, Josh, like Facebook Live, you go on your phone and you press one button. Literally one button, and you can go live to the masses.
Yeah.
Like, think about if this were to happen 10 years ago, it would not even look the same.
Yeah.
Like, not even close, right? Yeah. So literally, and I remember it was in my head, like March 12th or something. I think March 15th or something. It was like the first like Sunday service post lockdown, right? And so we're like, oh my God, what are we gonna do? Like, we can't pre-record anything. So it was like, you know what? For this, well, let's worry about the making it a little fancier the week after.
Yeah.
But for this Sunday, let's just put up a tripod, just put our phone in, boop, press a button.
That's it.
You're good to go.
You're good.
Literally, at worst case, you could still just press a button and do what you need to do.
Yeah.
Isn't that wild?
Yeah.
Like, to me, that's wild that we live in an age where, you know, that could happen.
And the biggest thing you have to worry about is like the grandmother on Facebook who's like,
yeah,
hi, Derek. It's been 5 years that since happens. I've seen you.
I know.
I love I you know. And miss you. You know, in the chat. Grandma, get off the chat. Get off the chat. Anyways, yeah. No, I also think about even, not even just technology, but when you think of innovation, right? Like, Nikki, you mentioned like speakers at an apartment building. I remember early on in this, I remember watching a video about people in Italy and they were across like balconies. They were playing badminton. Or like at some point in time, like a bunch of people just got their instruments out and were literally just like, we're jamming together. We're playing music together. You know what I mean? And I think of like organic community innovation and how I guess in some ways, like as we've had to kind of withdraw from one another, it has now innovated and brought together community in a way that I've never experienced in my generation, because and people younger than me have never experienced, because we've had these things, these smartphones, and we've had technology, and we've had the ability to do X, Y, and Z. And if you live in, you know, epicenters and busy cities, like it's just constant going. But then the ability to slow down and then to take the mindset of, wow, I want to be innovative, but now I can be innovative with the people around me. Mm-hmm. It's a beautiful thing.
Yes.
It's a beautiful thing. And I think it also speaks to the kingdom of God and the organic nature of how we are we're meant to be together. Mm-hmm. All of us, we're meant to be together. It's a beautiful thing. Getting back to this idea of technology, and I want to speak to maybe this idea of dependency on technology. Nikki, you raised this point of like, how has this increased our dependency on technology? And at the cost of deterring us from our mission as a church. That's a big deal.
Yeah, I think, I mean, like everything, like every tool we have, I mean, because people can talk about, you know, technology pulling us further apart, but then for every side of that coin, there's another side where, you know, someone in isolation is able to kind of come in near. So I think you have to balance that conversation carefully. But I do think of two things in particular. One is, you know, for communities who need services or who need additional food or who needed masks delivered or all these kinds of things, kind of the hands and feet on the street, that technology can fool us into thinking either that it's happening all the time with like one photo.
Yeah.
And so you think like, well, I don't have to participate because this is being taken care of. Or, you're so dependent on it that if you don't see a church or an organization post about it, you're like, wow, nothing's happening.
Yeah.
And you're like, what do you mean? There could be tons of stuff happening, but we rely on that as our lens to see what's truly happening in the world or in our communities.
Yeah.
And that kind of can cut us off at the knees a little bit because then we're not thinking like, actually, I'm just going to drive to Shoppers, pick up some stuff and drop it off.
Yep.
At this place or at that place. And so I think some of the reliance on seeing what's going on through the lens of technology can be difficult to navigate. And then also, you know, I think it can pull us away from our local neighborhoods. Mm. And so just back to what we were talking about, you know, being in, you know, a parking lot somewhere or being on your driveway, and it's easier, it feels safer to say to my neighbor, hey, like, I mean, even the other day it was so weird, you know, I'm leading worship online and it's like, hey, you can tune in. I'll be leading worship online. And it's like, I'm right there. But it's like, yeah, you know, I'm inviting somebody not to my dinner table or not to like sit out on a lawn chair on my driveway, but like you could watch me on the internet and then I close the door, you know, and back into my house.
Watch me from your home that's like over less than a block away.
Don't come to my house.
Yeah.
So I think it's so weird, right? I mean, so I think that that can keep us really dependent. And if we're not careful, it can take actually courage out of us, because it's, you know, I think it's nice to say, oh, it's so much easier to invite somebody online. It's like, for sure. Mm. But like, are we in the business of easier? Do you know what I mean? Like, are we in this because like, we're just trying to find easier and safer ways to spread the gospel? I don't know. I think that there's both, but for the sake of our own discipleship, is a dependence on technology making us less courageous or less willing to take a risk, you know?
Yeah, well, the word is comfort, right?
Like, yeah.
I think our flesh is always predisposed to put us in the most comfortable place possible, right?
Least pain.
You know what I mean? Like, if there's any, this, forget it. No, I'm not doing it, right? I'm not about that. And when you talk about technology, right, like we have to be so aware of our flesh in that, in terms of saying like, oh, you mean like I can lead worship from like with no pants on kind of thing?
Is that what you do?
Adam just let us in on a personal secret.
First of all, every time I've led, you've seen my full body. I'm wearing pants now, okay? Everybody get off.
We're going to cut to this clip.
Get off.
I'm leading worship.
Right? In this one, I had no pants. No, I'm just kidding. But you know what I mean? In terms of like this idea, like we laugh about it, but like we're so disposed to just want to do things comfortable. Like we want the uncomfortable kingdom of God in the comfort of our own paradigm, our own, you know, environments and ecosystems and controls and stuff. And the reality is that like, we don't actually get both. You get either or. You can be comfortable, but you won't get the kingdom. You know what I mean? Or you can get the kingdom and forsake the comfort. You don't get both, right? And I think of like, you know, churches even being deterred from the mission at hand. I think of all the technology that churches have either invested in or rented and stuff. And now the temptation is there to be something that you're not, you know? So maybe before you were deeply involved in your community and stuff, and now suddenly this whole sphere of recording and music has come into play, and you're like, wow, we've got some really talented people on our team. The temptation is there is to say like, man, like we should do an album. You know what I mean? Like after this is all over, like why don't we, I mean, it's so easy. Everybody could just record at their own homes and stuff, and we can do this in addition to the 40-hour work week or whatever it is that you're working, right? And I wonder how much, like where the shift in focus, and I'm not saying that churches shouldn't put out albums. I personally produce music and I am for it, you know, but it's got to be, I believe it's got to be something that is divinely inspired and put into priority, put into check in terms of like, are you trying to be the next Hillsong? Because now you've got a little bit of recording and mixing under your belt and you've got now access to all this technology. Or is the mission still the same before all of this? Before you had access, before you were forced into a situation where you've learned some new skills, is the mission still the same? And I think that, you know, when we talk about the deterrence of mission, we have to be careful, right? That we're not trying to be someone that we're not or something that God hasn't actually given us for the timing, right? Again, these things are not bad, but they're only bad if they're taking us away from the things that God has actually called us to do. I want to talk about maybe opening up some ideas for mission. It's kind of, you know, the flip side of the coin of like, maybe this has now revealed for some churches, some areas. So Derek, like, take us through maybe like some opportunities and stuff that churches may be having, or just even the general oversight of what this might look like for churches.
Yeah. Well, honestly, I mentioned it earlier. Just the simplicity of it all allows for so much innovation, so much creativity, just using an online space where previously we might not think would work, mm-hmm. right? I'll give an example, like even for us, like our church is in Etobicoke, right? And majority of our church is commuter-based, right? And that means like everyone's trying to drive from like Oakville, Aurora, Scarborough, everywhere into the Etobicoke area. And for us to do like prayer meetings before, maybe you'll get a handful of people, because you know at nighttime with all your kids and families, like who's going to be able to drive soccer into Etobicoke 45 minutes away for like a 45 minute prayer meeting?
Yeah.
You know, as much as we feel like it's so important for us to do that, and we want to encourage that. Yeah. These days, yeah. we have it online every other week, and it's on Zoom. We still have worship. We still have prayer. It's very different, but the participation is drastically greater.
Yeah, yeah,
that's
yeah,
just
yeah,
one yeah, example. Yeah. The access is there, yeah. and the opportunity for engagement and yeah. participation is there. And you're yeah. like, oh man, I never even thought about that. Yeah. And so even when we integrate, a question for us would be like, are we going to continue that? Mm-hmm. Because are we still going to ask people to drive in 45 minutes and take away online prayer meeting when the engagement has been so powerful yeah. and it's been yeah. so good, you yeah. know? That's just one of many, many yeah. possible examples of like an opportunity that arises through using technology that we never thought about, like maybe having more online meetings to save time, because I live 45 minutes away from my church, yes. my church too, mm-hmm. right? You know, and maybe it's very different if you're like, you know, your congregation is everyone's very local, like a very neighborhood centric sure. kind sure. of place. But, you know, in Toronto, I think a lot of churches are community churches. Commuter churches, right? Yeah, yeah. So it's, I think the technology given now just presents a lot of shifts in what can and can't be done. You know, and churches have a lot of you know important and kind of cool decisions to make as you reintegrate too, yeah. right? Like when the physical worship gatherings start happening, like what do you keep and what do you don't that works for you and works best for you?
Yeah,
yeah. And can I just add too? I think that flip side of the dependency also reveals like a greater level of personal accountability, mm-hmm. you know, because like I cannot go to church for a whole month and like nobody will know. Like I'm just, you know what I mean? Yeah, like
legit.
Nobody will know.
It's yeah. a thing.
Yeah. So, I mean,
it's a thing.
Yeah. right. It's a thing. But so I think that like even for ourselves to start thinking about like, wait a second, like what am I participating in? Like what kind of engagement am I willing to enter into? And I just think a lot of that reveals in us like a higher level of accountability. Like I think of online courses, right? It's such a great example.
Yeah.
Like the profs in those courses are like, well, if you do it, you do it. If you don't, it's not, right? Like little, where students are just supposed to, if they want, they participate. If they don't, then they don't. And so I think that there's so many ways on chat and yeah. phone calls to engage people. But the good part about that is that I think that we are wrestling with yeah. our own personal accountability.
Yeah.
Yeah, that will transfer probably in this bleed over time of reintegrating in person.
Yeah. And I think about church leaders, right? The province of Nova Scotia, I was reading a couple weeks ago there, in some of their sectors of labor, they're integrating a pilot project for a 4-day work week, you know? So it'll be yes. increased hours in some days, but it'll give you 3 days of weekend. And think about like the shift in time, yeah. right? That you now have. Mm-hmm. I think about church leaders, like for pastors to pastor in their community, not just in their office on planning center or whatever, you know what I mean? Yeah. Whatever it is that like the admin amount of admin you think of, I again, like I don't run a church per se. So I'm sure there are things that maybe some people will say that like, oh, this couldn't happen because X, Y, Z. But I just think about like, man, the possibility of even having, you know, some of your staff, right? Like just work at a Starbucks and be available to people, you know what I mean? At a Starbucks or at a coffee shop or wherever it is, like the access that this has now has granted us to actually be in the places where we're not, where unbelievers are, right? You know what I mean? To actually be where people who need help, where we'll actually run into them and encounter them and we'll brush shoulders with them, or we'll at least be 6 feet apart from them or whatever it is. You know what I mean?
No, like, shoulder brushing.
No shoulder brushing and stuff. Like, but like, yeah. I just think that it just opens up so much in terms of when we talk about mission, that we don't get tempted with the glamorous side of ministry in terms of maybe some of the stage things that can happen, but that it, but we really see this for the opportunity that it presents. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You can now be in the community. You can now be home with your family. Yes. You know what I mean? To disciple your children and whatnot. It doesn't have to be this thing where, you know, you're constantly at the office because the people need me at the office, yeah. right? But that you have this access and opportunity to do it.
Yeah. I completely agree. I think the idea of meeting people where they're at is now shifting because of our use of online platforms. Like, we build big buildings because we want to be able to host different things during the week. We want to host small groups in the building. We want to host, you know, all sorts of outreach programs and things like that. And none of that is wrong. Like, you know, we regularly host Alpha here, but to be able to meet people where they're at takes on a whole new life online, where you actually are meeting them where they're at, you know, for better or for worse. You know, the online prayer meeting, I love that. We've been doing that, and it's engagement through the roof, you know, viewership through the roof. And, you know, it was like this kind of dwindling thing in person, but to see it online, it's, I was at home and I saw my parents tune in. My parents are so busy that they rarely get to come to prayer meeting, and now it's a regular part of their weekly rhythm because, you know, they don't cook while they're doing the prayer meeting, but they just sit down and they watch and they're a part of that. I hear them praying and singing, and it's just it's so funny hearing it from the other room. But like, what other aspects of that what other aspects can we engage in? Like, we've seen a rise in small groups online now because there's less pressure. So for some people, that's super intimidating to get into a room, and especially if you're figuring out this whole Jesus thing. Like, but to be able to do it online, it's a lot safer. We're kind of leveraging the fear that people have of the extroverted conversations. You bring them into a small group online, suddenly they're more willing to talk. Yeah. Alpha, our numbers for Alpha online are through the roof. And I mean, it's just actually meeting people where they're at, rather than come to this building and we'll fix your problems. Rather, let me go to you in a way that is better for you, and then we'll work on it. I think that's just the opportunities have opened up like that.
You know, there's a guy, a pretty prevalent voice in, I don't know what you would call it, like digital Christendom. Maybe Brady Shearer is who I'm. Digital Christendom. We're going to coin it. Yeah, this is it. We're digital Christendom. But
you heard it here first.
Oh man. But Brady Shearer, like, he's been talking about this, and I swear, like, Brady, if you ever get a chance to see this is a personal shout out to you. You are a prophet of God. Wow. Let me tell you that you are a straight up the prophetic gifting on your life to be able to see this. You know what I mean? Like, I say that in jest, but it's so true in terms of like, we're talking about this now in hindsight, but there are people who have seen this for so long who have said, like, you know, you can meet people where you're at because you have these tools, and they've been free for you to use. We're gonna play a short, not even, it's not really a game, but I'm gonna go through the line here, and you're gonna vote on if this unites or if this separates. Does technology unite or does it separate churches? I'm going to start with you, Josh, and I'm going to work my way down. And you're going to just say a simple answer. If it now, obviously, we know that it can do both. You know, we know that it has effects on both. But which one do you think is the bigger margin, right? Does it unite or does it separate churches? So, Josh, what's your vote? Unite or separate?
Wow. Okay. I think it unites. I think it brings people together. I think we've seen that through, you know, song videos and things like that. I think that's just a small slice of the pie. But I think we've yet to see what churches really look like coming together. We're starting to see like these digital conferences and things. I think the best is yet to come in terms of uniting our churches online.
Derek, unite or separate?
Yeah, I'm with Josh. I think it unites it together. Another example is just seeing, you know, you're seeing every church and what they're doing.
Yeah.
You know, and you can see it in the comparative lens, but you can see it as like, what can I learn from them?
Yeah.
You know? And for the first time, every church is just out there and we're learning together and we're all trying to figure this out together. Yeah. And you know, we're a part of like these, you know, worship projects, part of these online worship communities, and we're just trying to do this together. And so I think for me, you know, I'm going to give it the benefit out of the doubt and I'm going to be optimistic and say it unites the church together.
How very millennial and very young of us.
Yes.
Nikki, does it unite or does it separate?
Nothing is worse than an oppositional question of having to choose.
You got to select. This was not in the notes. I literally sprung the trap. Boom.
Yeah, I'm an eternal optimist, so I'm going to say unite with an asterisk at the bottom. Because I think we have to define what ways it unites. Like when we talk about unifying, in what capacity? Unifying in which ways? Mm-hmm. So there's my
I'm
note.
I'm going to go YOLO on it. I'm going to say unite, no asterisks.
Wow, 4 for 4.
No, nothing. We're going to go unanimous, and I just think... man, I don't know, because maybe I've been swimming in Matthew a little too much lately, but I'm like, the kingdom, man, the kingdom's big. And I think we're getting a better picture of it because of technology. Amen. Yeah. Guys, this has been great. If you found this resourceful, we'd love to talk with you more in the comment section of these videos. Don't forget to reach out to us in any way that you can. We'd love to talk more with you on these topics. But this has been the Worship Project podcast, and we're so happy that you have joined us. God bless you, and we'll catch you in the next one.